I don't know that that requires a lot of process to conclude. If you take this particular spot, or you take the one, the pod that is north of Division, or excuse me, south of Division on 50th, I believe it is, 50th.
There's one on 50th and one at 32nd.
And then there's one on 32nd, and there's one on 11th and
Hawthorne,
and then there are various other ones. Walk around the neighborhood, any of you that would like, and knock on people's doors and say, how do you feel about people being able, according to the applicant's own testimony, drink outside from 7 a.m. to midnight? Do you have any concerns with that? I think you'd get a pretty clear answer from people who live there.
And that's
great for people who live somewhere else, who want to, you know, stop downtown and have a nice glass of Chardonnay with their sandwich and then go home. But what about the people that are stuck living there with the others that don't go home after they have one glass of Chardonnay and they, as I said last time, sit out in an open venue drinking, and then the attendant issues that occur with that as the evening progresses, that I'm sure the officer could testify to. That all sounds romantic until you actually happen to live within, you know, 1,000 feet of that place. So I don't think we ought to accommodate one person's concern that we can't buy Chardonnay at a food cart on this council, and we ought to be very clear that this is, I mean, I've been here long enough to know that even venues that have walls and a roof that misbehave cause great distress for neighbors around them. Thus, the time, place, and manner ordinance that we voted on in 2004 that I brought forward to address that issue. But to actually sit here and not directly say, just as a matter of public policy, and I'm happy to nuance it as well, not to just do a flat ban, but to say where there are pods within so many feet of a residential neighborhood, we're not going to support alcohol being served, to me is not a difficult thing for this council to wrap its arms around.
No, and I understand all that. My only point is that, you know, if there is a rulemaking and we're not happy with it, I want a chance to assess our odds, and it can be in an executive session, I believe, or it could be via resolution to council, you know, to assess our odds of committing our city attorney's office to sue over a rulemaking under, you know, if it's done legitimately under whatever Oregon's equivalent of the Administrative Procedures Act and all that, you know, I want to be able to assess, handicap our odds before we say go forth and sue. So that's
my view, that's is the peace and the safety and the livability of neighborhoods is so important. I don't care what the odds are. I mean, if this is a practice that is so dramatic as to allow drinking until midnight across the street from someone, somebody lives in a parking lot, essentially, where cheap food is available. You don't have to sit down and be a demographer to figure out who's going to take advantage
outdoors.
Of that. It's an outrageous intrusion of the livability of the city. So for me, it doesn't. And as anybody who knows me knows, I'm no prude on this subject, but I do respect the rights of people to live in their homes and be as free and safe from others' activities as possible. And this, to me, is just particularly on this site, as I articulated a couple weeks ago when we talked about this. This is ground zero for one of the most crime-ridden, drug-plagued areas of the city. It is an outrageous place for it to be the first place to be tried. If you want to, you know, try it in somebody's neighborhood, try it up in Southwest Portland and see how they like it. You know, let's take some pods and stick them on a parking lot next to somebody's neighborhood in Multnomah and see how they like it. And if that's cool there, well, we'll look at other places then. But to take the most distressed area in the city and then throw alcohol into the mix is outrageous.
Right.
I don't think we ought to be cautious about saying so.
Commissioner Fish, and then I'm going to see if anyone wants to propose any amendments. If not, we'll take public testimony and then we'll vote. Commissioner Fish?
So I'm prepared to support the resolution as drafted. And I appreciate the concern that Commissioner Saltzman has raised, and I think it's been addressed by Commissioner in charge in this instance, Commissioner Fritz, saying that she will consult with him and provide him with information about the decision-making. I am reminded, though, that we frequently delegate this kind of authority to the city attorney's office. And I don't remember in recent history, and we've done this around seeking to collect taxes against online companies that book hotel rooms and a bunch of other things. I don't remember us putting in a condition that the city attorney had to come back at various triggers to get our authority. On the other hand, I think any member of this council has the right to ask for consultations and briefings. And it seems to me the usual protocol is if we are sharing that information and the commissioner in charge has said she will, if at some point Commissioner Saltzman or any other member of the council has a question about strategy, they can ask for an executive session or bring a resolution for it. But I think to build it in that there is a requisite of some council action is actually, while well-intentioned, I don't think has been consistent with our practice. And that, I think, gets us into second-guessing in ways I don't actually support. So I also believe that, as Commissioner Leonard said, if what we're trying to do is send a stronger signal both to the rulemaking process and beyond, I don't think we should be equivocal at this point. I have four members of the council share Commissioner Leonard's values on this. I think we should put our marker down now and not have this be conditional. So I'm prepared to support the resolution as drafted.
So could I just ask, Ben, on that point? You raise a good point, but it seems to me there have been times when the city attorney's office has checked in with us about further appeals or challenging things. Am I incorrect?
Well, yes, I would think it would be, we would follow the standard protocol of keeping the commissioner's offices, the council offices, informed of what progress or setbacks we've experienced in the litigation and to get directions from the council offices about how much further to proceed or whether to discontinue and withdraw from the field, depending on the council's evaluation.
And so you do that by meeting with the commissioners as opposed to a forum like this saying, you know, shall we take something to the Court of Appeals or to the Supreme Court?
Well, both. Generally, both. To preserve attorney-client privilege, yes, those communications occur with the individual offices.
So I am too close to this issue, I admit, in terms of being police commissioner. I know the vast majority of shootings and deaths by gun and violence that involve alcohol and drugs, and there's triple quad diagnosis. So my alarm on this is not about Courtlandia. My alarm about this, in addition to what Commissioner Leonard said, is that the existing ability, the existing resources devoted to making liquor licenses be successful, that existing system is on paper only. And to open up 695 more up to 695 more licenses where the police bureau can't even enforce because they're guidelines, not rules, is an additional problem, but those are separable. And I guess because I get so concerned, I go out to shootings and stuff, is I guess I need to understand, in all fairness to you, Commissioner Saltzman, what is the public interest in opening up food carts that maybe I'm missing and I want to give you a chance? How is the public interest served in opening up food carts and pods to liquor licenses?
Well, I know you weren't here last week when we discussed this, but I guess what I was saying last week was, were you here? Okay.
I was here for this discussion.
Oh, you were? Okay. Well,
I was here for this. I misspoke earlier.
What I simply said last week is, you know, the extreme of an outright ban versus there perhaps being some middle ground, you know, for a city that, you know, we promote ourselves for our microbreweries, for our estate, we promote ourselves for our wines. Our food carts, you know, are iconic as well. There could be circumstances under which food carts or food pods could serve beer, wine, and, you know, with appropriate oversight of OLCC in Portland. And I don't think so. I'm just saying there could be a middle ground, and I wasn't prepared to support an outright ban at this point in time.
So you do, in there, gives me some comfort is that you agree that we need more effort provided to enforcement. We can't just rely on the city's
guidelines.
Enforcement.
Yes, and I would like support the OLCC formal rulemaking. And so that's what I was simply saying. And I understand the concerns were raised, particularly about the downtown, and I probably wouldn't support liquor licenses for downtown food carts, but I'm not prepared to say that food pods elsewhere, it might not be an enhanced amenity for people who live in other parts of the city.
Thank you.
So that's what I was saying.
Is anyone wish to testify on this matter?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Roger Goldengay.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I think. I'm probably not going to change anybody's mind here, but I did want to mention a couple of things regarding the process that we went through in our application from the city. We felt that we had completed that process, and we did not notice any lack of investigation by ONI or by announcement from the public notice regarding our liquor license application. It was distributed by Teresa Marchetti to all the property owners, residents within 300 feet of the premises, neighborhood coalitions, neighborhood and business associations, as well as the Portland Precinct and Drug and Vice Division. It was clearly, our application was clearly filled out and distributed with this notice, and it states quite clearly it's beer and wine service supplemental to food cart pod operation. It also puts the size of the service area and the restaurant seating capacity is 0 and the outside seating capacity is 60. I don't know how much more clear you can be than that. We were also investigated by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and I spent well over an hour with the crime prevention coordinator. So I don't know who was missed out in this process. It seemed to me that we were then issued a letter of approval by the City of Portland Bureau of Police on July 21st with a favorable recommendation. That was July 21st, which is over 7 or 8 months ago. If the city wants to do this over, I guess that's not up to me. But I did want to make the point that we did make an effort to go through the city process as we understood it to be at that time, which is what we have always done. Regarding the, just to make a point in the favor of the OLCC, the number of 9 inspectors with 2,800 licenses has been thrown about as though that would be a ridiculous figure. However, if you break that down to 311 per inspector, and you put a 48 annual work week, 48 weeks annually, that gives you 240 days of working days per inspector.
That's based on how many licensees?
2,800.
And how many are in the Tri-County area?
Well, that's Amanda Fritz's notice was reported, I believe, in the paper or in her statements.
That's in the City of Portland. We have 2,800 in the City of Portland, but okay. The inspectors cover, I think it's more than 3 counties. 6 counties, right?
So yeah. 9 inspectors cover 6 counties.
So we have to add Beavis and Gresham.
Okay. Well, if you have some numbers on that, the City of Portland is in 3 counties. So I don't know the exact number, but 2,800 is what was used. I'm not sure where. But if you work that out, it's
any final thought?
1.3 units per day. Per inspector. No, I have no other final thoughts.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Carla, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fritz? This is not about Cartlandia. As was mentioned by Teresa Marchetti, we have revised our form now that we know that food carts are coming in to ask for liquor licenses. This resolution says we need rules before that happens and that the city will take the necessary steps, including asking for the licenses not to happen, but as was mentioned in the conversation, some commissioners would not like them downtown, some would not like them anywhere. Without rules, we don't even they can be anywhere. And so that's the point of this resolution, is to be really clear that we need enforceable rules before OLCC issues any license, and that we will take the necessary steps to make that happen. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Folks, I have to do a meeting at 12 o'clock that I cannot get out of. So the one thing that's left is 187. And we've had some folks waiting here from the Bureau. I apologize. Who pulled it?
Dan Handelman.
Is Dan Handelman here? He's here, yeah. Okay. I need to put it over unless we can do it. Is there anyone else signed up to testify? Dr. Bethel?
We didn't pull anything. I didn't have a sign-up sheet. It was pulled.
Okay.
Do you want me to go read the title? Or?
Let's take, okay. We got to make it quick.
187, authorize a contract with David M. Corey, Ph.D., PC, to provide psychological examinations for the Portland Police Bureau.
Hi. What are we looking at here?
Sean Murray, Human Resources Manager for the Portland Police Bureau. It's an agenda item before council today to approve psychological testing for the Police Bureau with Dr. Corey. Essentially, the contract is for a five-year period with the option for renewal. The Bureau has had a contract with Dr. Corey since 1999. At the request of the mayor, the Bureau did an RFP process for requests for psychological services, which include pre-employment psychological examinations, fitness for duty testing, and also 360 performance evaluations for police officers.
And how many people applied? Who was on the selection committee?
We had three people, the Bureau Purchases indicated with their website that they had 11 proposals downloaded. We had two proposals that were submitted. And on the evaluation committee, it consisted of one person from the Police Bureau, one member from the public, and one member from the Minority Evaluator Program.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take testimony, unless they're counsel. Can you, folks, please come up? Doctor? Dan?
Dr. Tialin Bethel, AMA President, Mr. Mayor, and to all council members, I'll make this very quick since you have a 12 o'clock and I had an 11:30.
Oh, sorry to keep you waiting.
I come because AMA has asked of the city, and particularly the police department, and you also, Mr. Mayor, that we would look at this contract for psychological services, that we would have a diverse number of persons who could possibly begin to do these. We've noticed that Dr. Curry has had this contract for over 10 years. The census is that within that time, sometimes a person, and this is not saying that he has done this, can become kind of comfortable in doing that and not do as thorough job as should be done in terms of doing the evaluations, both doing the 360s and the pre. So we would like to ask that the council would consider going back, being that there was only two proposals received. Seems to indicate to me that maybe the possibility is that others felt that they would not be able to compete fairly in this process, and also that the selection committee might be expanded and not just have just a person from the evaluation, a person from the Police Bureau, and one public person, but that it would be also given the opportunity to receive further testimony during council so that others may have an opportunity to speak to the possibility of someone else perhaps being hired or a diverse pool of persons being able to do this. So we come in adamantly in opposition to Dr. Curry receiving another five-year contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Mr. Handelman?
Again, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I'm the co-chair of the Albina Minister Alliance Coalition's Training and Policy Committee, and helped put together the list of community demands based on items that have been asked for many years. And this is on that list of demands. We had a discussion with the mayor and the chief I believe it was on November 4 last year, where this issue came up again. We were told that the Bureau was going to work on an RFP, and at that point, we didn't hear anything about it again. And this item came up on the agenda sometime in January. I asked for it to be pulled off the consent agenda then. It was pulled back for more work. And now it's just a few weeks later, and we're finding out that the RFP had been put together and had already been filled. The AMA coalition was never notified that the RFP was even put out. And the January agenda item read, at this time, it's desirable to extend the term of the agreement with Dr. Corey until the end of March to allow for psychological exams to be completed in early 2012 and allow the Police Bureau sufficient time to finish a request for proposal for future psychological services. So that agenda item implied in January that the RFP hadn't even been written yet. I contacted the mayor's aide, Clay Neal, about this and said, the AMA, through Dr. Haynes, the chair of the AMA coalition, said that there was no opposition to Dr. Corey continuing for a few more months, but we repeated the community demand that a diverse panel of psychologists should be involved in screening the officers that are out on the streets. And so it came as quite a surprise that this item came up on the agenda, that Dr. Corey is being awarded this 5-year contract. And going online, you can see, yes, 11 people downloaded the paperwork, but it was only just this morning that we were able to find out only 2 people actually applied for the job. There could have been more people applying for the job had the community been informed that the job was open, and we could have contacted people and told them, hey, this job is open. Would you like to apply for it? So it's a very disconcerting process, and Portland Cop Watch will join the AMA in opposing this going forward without more discussion and research.
Thank you both.
Mayor, would you be willing?
I haven't recognized it. Thank you. You can come back up. With 6 months from today. What's 6 months from today? Let's see.
6 months from today?
Yeah.
August 29th.
So we're going to extend this. I propose we amend it to extend it to August 31st, 2012. And that I haven't had enough time to review a 5-year extension. So I'm willing to extend it for 6 months, expiring on August 31st, 2012. In the intervening time, we have some other related issues that we're working on that I'd like to fold into this discussion before we make a 5-year extension. So that's.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any council discussion on it?
So we're extending Dr. Corey's current contract for 6 months.
Correct. To August 31st, 2012. Can you please call the vote?
Fritz. I appreciate the concerns of the Alpine Ministerial Alliance and Cop Watch, and thank you for your diligence in staying here to make these points. It's very helpful. And I appreciate the mayor being willing to extend the discussion for 6 months so that we can all look into some more data and make sure we make a wise decision on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved, extended for 6 months.
That was the amendment you need to vote on.
Right. Any other discussions on the underlying amended ordinance? Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. So approved. We're now adjourned. So we're in recess till 2 p.m.